This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Terps are down by one. And Gillespie looks to inbound. There it goes to Queen. Queen will drive in against Morton. Queen with a shot off the glass. Got it! And the Pelicans have won it! On a shot, oh my goodness, by Derrick Queen, 72-71, and we're heading to San Francisco. It's about time.
Wow. Man, oh man, oh man.
Johnny Holiday, Chris Knocke on the call as Derrick Queen's fadeaway runner of a bank shot sends Maryland to the Sweet 16. That moment for Terps fans, way up there on the list, Denton. Good morning, everybody. Denton Day is with me. Three guests, actually two guests now, will join the show today as we go along. Ben Standing at 12 will talk some football. Randolph Childress at 12:35 to talk about the rest of the tournament as the first weekend is over. And we are down to 16. And for the first time in 9 years, Maryland is one of the 16. Kevin Willard will join us on the show tomorrow. He was going to join us this morning, but their travel is getting hectic, so he just reached out and said, can we do it tomorrow? I said, no worries. So we'll have the head basketball coach of Maryland on the show tomorrow. What a shot. You know, what a game, really. If you've watched Terps basketball all year long, as I have, it was not Maryland's best game, not by a long shot, but wow, what a moment. Derrick Queen, you know, he told Kevin Willard in the huddle with 3.7 seconds left, give me the MF ball. He's a freshman. He's a really good freshman. Like, he's the second best freshman in America behind Cooper Flagg. He's the best freshman Maryland's had since Joe Smith. But as good as Joe Smith was, because he was the freshman of the year, he didn't have a moment like last night. Now, he did have a tip-in at the buzzer at Cameron Indoor to beat Duke in 1995. He had 40 that night, by the way. But what Derrick Queen did last night will go down as a legendary, legendary Terps moment. No matter what happens from here on out, nobody will ever forget last night's game winner. You know, it was so thrilling, so euphoric in the moment, but in so many ways, and I think only Maryland fans get this and understand this, it was also a bit shocking. You know, those are the kinds of shots that over the years have gone the other way. You know, four times this year, you may know if you don't, Maryland's last four losses this year have essentially come at the buzzer or near it. If last night was your introduction to Maryland basketball because you're following the tournament, or you follow it but not real closely, Maryland basketball fans that have lived long enough have so much built-up scar tissue from games that went the wrong way, like that one appeared to be heading. When Colorado State's Jalen Lake made that three with 6 seconds to go, it just seemed so Maryland. Again, not just because of the last four games this season, but because of a lifetime of soul-crushing losses. Sure, there have been a few that have gone our way over the years. You know, Drew Nicholas in 2003. You know, Len Bias had a freshman buzzer-beating NCAA tournament shot in the first round over UT Chattanooga in 1983. Hit one from right at the, between the top of the key and the free throw line as the buzzer went off. But the life of a Maryland basketball fan has included a lot of punches to the face. You know, Corey Lucius in 2010, the most vicious shot we've ever taken. But man, you know what's great about sports is when you follow a team and you really have your heart in it and you suffer through those moments, it makes the moments like last night so much sweeter. When that went in, it was total euphoria. What a shot. Moving left, he's right-handed if you didn't know. Taking some big steps, no, he did not travel. By rule, he did not travel. We'll talk about that later on, because I do have a game take coming up. You know, Monday morning football-style game take on the Terps win over Colorado State. Derek Queen was fading away, and the angle that he had for a bank shot was not a great angle. His margin for error, and you shooters know this, once you get closer to the baseline, a bank shot becomes much more difficult, and the precision to bank it in becomes so tight, so narrow. It almost had to be exactly put where he put it. Did he call bank shot? No. As Paul Pierce once said, he called game. And now it's on to the Sweet 16. And it's Maryland's 15th trip to the Sweet 16. One point, many, many years ago, I think they just called them regional semifinals. But man, the trips to the Sweet 16, which were so plentiful during Gary's years, they have dried up in recent decades. Last one, 2016. Mello Trimble and company beat Hawaii in the second round to get to a Sweet 16 matchup against Kansas, which they lost by 16. That was the only Sweet 16 trip between the years 2004 and last night. 21 years and one Sweet 16 for a program that, over a 10-year period with Gary at the helm, went to seven of them in a 10-year stretch. But it's been slim pickings in March. You can't really call yourself an elite or very high-level college basketball program if you haven't been out of the first weekend but once in 21 years. There were a lot of second-round games over the years. They've gone to the tournament a bunch. You know, it's not like they haven't gone to the tournament and they've been bad. No, they've been good, and they've gone to the tournament regularly. But whether it was Corey Lucius or Tremaine Waters, just painful, painful second-round games that they could have won, but they didn't. Nine times over the years in which they went to just one Sweet 16, they had chances to get to the second weekend. And didn't. Winning last night, man, it felt like a relief. Now, in the moment, the way it ended, it was just incredibly thrilling. But the game as it was going on, and they trailed, you know, by as many as 12 in the first half. It was like, you've got to be kidding me, because, again, just for those of you who don't know and don't and haven't, you know, been a part of this, they needed to get to the second weekend of the tournament. It was very important to get to a Sweet 16, especially given that they were playing a 12 seed. Now, that 12 seed was better than the 5 seed. They beat them up pretty badly on Friday, Memphis. And I watched Friday, Denton, and I forget if you and I texted back and forth, but I said to everybody that I was talking to, I'm like, this is not going to be easy. That kid Clifford is a pro. They can play. And it wasn't easy. But man, in so many ways, it felt like a relief. You know, not that Thursday night against Florida is like icing on the cake. You know, I've been around long enough, and a lot of you who are Maryland basketball fans for life have been around long enough to know, you know, there was a time where, you know, we were bitching and complaining about making Sweet 16s all the time. You know, we couldn't get past that. Remember, you know, the Gary narrative? Sweet 16 is basically the best we can do with him. Didn't turn out that way. People thought that about Jay Wright for years at Villanova. No, they can go and win this thing. They are good enough. But man, another exit in the second round would have been a blow. It would have been a blow. It would have been a blow to the program. It would have been a big hurt on Kevin Willard, who went off the other day. By the way, I loved it. We talked about it on Friday. The way they needed something like this. And by the way, Damon Evans, the AD, is off to SMU. And Kevin Willard used that moment to kind of leverage his position of, you know, second place in the Big Ten, 25 wins, you know, Villanova being interested in him, to try to get things that the basketball department and program at Maryland hasn't gotten in years. But you know what? It put the pressure on him to win two games. Like, if you're going to do that, and I loved that he did it, and I hope that he stays, and I hope that he gets what he needs from the school president and whomever takes over as athletic director. But it would not have been great optics had he gone out yesterday at the hands of Colorado State with a team that everybody's been talking about over the last couple of weeks is capable of making a Final Four run. So there was a feeling of incredible ecstasy, as Jack Hancock would say, ecstasy, my dear, in the moment. But at the same time, it was like, phew! Because that would have been a big blow. Maryland is a big-time basketball program. They're a national championship, two-time Final Four program, third winningest program in ACC history, third winningest program since they've been in the Big Ten in terms of total wins. But March is where this sport measures you, period. Didn't always used to be that way. But the last 10 years, maybe even more than that, people pay attention to college basketball in March. It's what you do right now. The memories you create in people's minds now, the impressions you make in this month that matter. The rest of it really doesn't. Now, you got to get to the point where you're playing this time of year, which means you've got to be good from November through the end of February. Too many exits before the second weekend in the tournament for a long period of time, which is why last night felt like incredible on the shot, on the ending, shocking in many ways because it's gone so many times against us, and also so many emotions running through in the moment. Relief that they're off to the second weekend. And a matchup against a very good Florida team. A one seed that rallied to beat UConn. We'll talk about some of the other games from the tournament. since we last spoke. That was a great basketball game. That was the standalone noon game yesterday. And the two-time defending champion, they had the heart of a champion. Wow, did UConn play well. And I kept thinking, Denton, as I was watching that game, neither one of these teams is going to be a pleasant matchup for Maryland if Maryland can get by Colorado State, because UConn was so physical in that game.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing watching that. I was like, oh my God, this UConn team, they really got something. Like they got a little bit of that dog in them. That Derek Queen shot, though, was insane. Like, I just can't get past the fact that he's a right-handed guy, a big guy nonetheless, but a right-handed guy with a man in his face fading to his left, and he banked it in. I don't know that there are three people in college basketball that can hit that shot. I think it might be him and Cooper Flagg, and that's it.
He's shot a lot of those during the year. A lot of those Euro kind of steps, fading away, floaters, little bit awkward, you know, going off right foot instead of left. Although when you're moving in that direction, it's not totally awkward to shoot off your right foot. He has hit a lot of those shots. He's had a couple of those, you know, kind of off 1 foot fadeaways in mid-range. It was big time shot, and it went down, and that's the most important thing. And it's a fine line, man, in March. When Lake hit that three, I was so devastated. I mean, I'll get to my game take coming up here, but it's one of the things, because there are some areas to be constructively critical of the end of half and end of game yesterday. They had a foul to give. Now, Gillespie said in one of his interviews, I think it was with Westwood One, that actually Kevin did say, we're going to use the foul, but they didn't do it. And they let the best three-point shooter on the team get open for a look. Are you kidding me? You can't give up a three. You know, it's really strange, and this is a Maryland fan mindset, and I bet some of you Terp fans were feeling the same thing. First of all, Juju hits the two free throws. He was so clutch down the stretch. I mean, big-time clutch down the stretch. He scored six of their final eight, Queen the other two, obviously. 4 for 4 from the free throw line, hit a mid-range jumper. But when they're only up two in that spot, and they had a foul to give. I mean, part of me wanted them, all right, use a foul early, and then go ahead and just foul somebody and put them at the line so we don't lose on a three at the buzzer. I'll foul with like 8 seconds to go. If they make them, at least we get the last shot in regulation, and we'll go to overtime. I mean, that's not the mentality you're thinking. Just get a stop. Get a stop and a rebound, by the way, which has been a problem for Maryland here recently. But I was actually sitting there going, I don't want to see somebody shoot a three here. Please, if they tie this game, fine. But maybe we should just foul and put them at the line with like 8 or 9 seconds left. So happy they got through. So happy. So happy for Kevin. So happy for those players. Derek Queen is a legend. I mean, last night cemented one of the great freshman seasons in Big Ten history, in Maryland basketball history. The only reason he's not the freshman of the year is that we have one of those unbelievable, you know, transcendent players in Cooper Flagg. I mean, there's, for those of you that have said, oh, he needs another year, he should come back, I don't disagree with that sentiment. I think almost every, you know, 18, 19-year-old could use another, you know, year of high-level college basketball. But he's not coming back, okay? He's going in the top 10, top 12 in the draft, and he's getting paid a lot more than what anybody in college can pay him. I mean, the idea of him coming, and look, if he came back next year, Denton, he's not coming back, but if he did come back with Rice and Gillespie, Maryland would be a preseason top three, top four team in the country.
Yeah, they'd be number one, but as a friend to a friend, don't start getting that in your head that he's coming back. He might be a top seven pick in the NBA draft.
Yeah, he's not coming back. What a phenomenal shot. You know what? It was a very good basketball game. I don't think Maryland played anywhere near their best. Quite honestly, I don't think they played anywhere near their best against Grand Canyon when they won on Friday by 32. They've developed a problem here over the last week, week and a half, which I will talk about in my game take. But we'll get to that. I'll save that. But they've got to fix that against the next opponent, or they'll get bludgeoned on Thursday night in San Francisco against Florida. They are a 6.5-point underdog against Florida Thursday night. The game Thursday night, 7:39. Yeah, 7:39 tip. And we will have it right here as your home for Maryland basketball. The team 980, Johnny Holiday, Chris Nockey on the call. I would hope the Terps are staying out west. They are. They're not taking a bus ride back from Seattle and then taking another one, a train, back to San Francisco. No, I think they've got enough money to stay out west and get ready for a Thursday night tilt against Florida. It's interesting. The other side of the bracket in the west is Texas Tech, Arkansas. Arkansas has some athletes, man. Calipari's got them playing well. It is overall, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this as the morning goes along. This is a very chalky Sweet 16. This is a Power 4 conference Sweet 16 only. There is nobody outside the Power 4 in the Sweet 16. First time that has happened since 1975. Just four conferences are represented in the Sweet 16. And that is very likely a result of how college sports have gone here in the last couple of years with the portal and NIL. All right. My game take next. If you want to weigh in, phone lines are open. 301-230-0980. Maryland is headed to the Sweet 16. How far can the Terps go? And any other thoughts on their exciting, incredible, wow moment game last night against Colorado State, the only buzzer beater of the tournament so far.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Gillespie looking to throw it in. Gets it up top to Queen. Dribbling left. Big step down the lane. Runner for the win. Baked it in! He baked it in! He baked it in! And Maryland has won! Maryland is going to the Sweet 16! Derek Queen with a runner left of the lane. Baked it in! And for the first time since 2016, the Maryland Terrapins are going to the Sweet 16!
Let me just say this. Anybody that thought that was a travel, I feel like you've probably just tuned into basketball for the first time in a long time. That wasn't a travel. It's not even a travel. There's been a bunch of breakdowns on the internet by rule. I mean, that hasn't been a travel in 30 years of basketball, you know, at the NBA level or at the college level. They call it a gather step in the NBA, but you're allowed that sort of get your, you know, steps together in college as well. That was not by rule, according to the Gene Steratore types traveling, and it's certainly not a travel if you've been paying attention to basketball for, say, the last quarter century. I mean, not even close. And I'm not just talking about NBA travels. That's not even close to a travel at the college level. You know, Jeff Green's Sweet 16 moment against Vanderbilt was more of a travel than this was. Sorry, Georgetown people. Oh, sorry, Dan. Sorry, CJ. Sorry, Billy. Sorry, everybody. All right, I'm going to do a game take, Monday morning football season style on Maryland's 72-71 win over Colorado State to advance to the Sweet 16. We'll be playing, we played you Johnny's call of Derek Queen's shot coming in. That was the Westwood one call of the shot. I think we've got a few more, so we'll play as many as we have coming into these segments throughout the morning. Kevin Willard was going to join us this morning, but they are hustling to get onto a plane, so he will join us at some point tomorrow on the show. Today, we will talk to Ben Standing at 12. We will talk to Randolph Childress at 12:35, and we will talk to you guys. Phone lines are open at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. All right, let me get to my game take. What I liked, what I didn't like, and a few other sort of observations from the game. So what I liked from the game was, let's just start at the end. I mean, the final play. It is, you know, unusual that a coach gets into a huddle with 3.7 seconds left and says, who wants to take the last shot? I kind of love it, and Kevin Willard is a player's coach, and Derek Queen said, I want the MF ball. And so they had the perfect setup for him, because if you've watched Derek Queen all year, that's where he does his best work, right in the middle of the floor at the free throw line. He can score from the post at 6'11", 6'10", 6'11", but he is a skilled big. He is a Euro-style big. Knocked down two threes early in the game. All of a sudden, he's a three-point shooter. Denton, we talked about that during the course of the year. I said he's got a good stroke. Like, I think he will eventually be a good three-point shooter, but they don't need him to be on this team because they've got so many others. He hit a couple of big threes early in the game when Maryland was not playing well to keep the game from getting out of hand. But I loved the final play. I actually thought when I saw Gillespie inbounding the ball, I actually thought that it was going right back to Gillespie. You'll see that a lot. The inbounder is the guy that the play is designed for. It'll, you know, a ball into Reese right back to Gillespie. Reese sets the screen, and Gillespie comes off it for a runner or for a jump shot. If they go under the screen, he takes the long range jump shot. If they fight over the screen, he drives it and shoots a floater. I thought that's where it was going, but you saw the down screen to get Queen open at the free throw line, and the rest is history. By the way, I'll also just say Maryland was well prepared at the end, not in the defensive sequence. But after the Lake three with 6.1 seconds left, they had one timeout left. They didn't call it there. They got the ball inbounds. Selton Miguel took it across half court and called their last timeout. I actually thought he could have gotten it up there a little bit quicker. But, you know, went from 6.1 to 3.7, and so that they could run the play they wanted to run in the front court. Rather than having to go the length of the court. I actually thought right when they inbounded the ball that that was going to be the plan, especially when the ball was in Miguel's hands. Not that you wouldn't want Miguel shooting, but not off the dribble necessarily the length of the court. So they did a nice job there. So number one on the list of things that I liked, I thought they, after they didn't do what they were supposed to do defensively, the preparation to, with one timeout and 6.1 seconds, to not call it there, but to get the ball into the front court and then call the timeout, that made it easier for them to set up what they wanted. On the list of things that I liked, after Queen's game winner and everything surrounding it, I've got to talk about Julian Reese. Juju Reese, for you Maryland fans, you know this. For those that don't, he was a terrible free throw shooter until this year. Horrendous. I mean, we're talking in the 50s. Last year, he shot 56.8% from the free throw line. The year before that, he shot 53.3% from the free throw line. He was 73.5% from the free throw line in the regular season. He changed his stroke. There was a terrible hitch in his stroke the last 2 years. He smoothed it out. He got more sort of backward rotation and more arc and more of a flowing stroke rather than a hitchy stroke. And he turned himself with hard work into a good free throw shooter. You have no idea, if you haven't been paying attention, whence or where he came from. It was horrendous. Last night, if this was last year, there's no way he makes all four free throws. No way. Let alone the mid-range jump shot off the pick and roll. Off the clearing out that one side and running that pick and roll. I mean, he's hit that all year long. This guy stayed all 4 years. You knew he was talented. You knew he had size. You knew he had strength. You knew, you know, he had some ability, but he was a little bit awkward, a little bit like a baby giraffe those first few years and getting his legs and his arms together. What a player he has worked himself into this year. Tremendous finish for him last night. I mean, that is big time to go to the free throw line in those spots and make those free throws. The last two, you know, in a tie game, 68-68 with 22 seconds left. The offensive rebound that he got before he made those two free throws with about 3 minutes to go. That jump shot off that pick and roll, incredible. Julian Reese, what a game, what a player he's turned into. Yeah, there were some moments defensively, and I'm going to get to those, where I didn't like a lot of what I saw from anybody out there. But he really... Maryland fans will tell you, if this had been last year, Maryland loses that game with him at the line twice in the last 3 minutes of the game, with him having to shoot a mid-range jump shot. 15 points, 11 rebounds for Julian. A big block shot, a steal as well on the defensive end in the second half. He's on the list of things that I liked. Look, all five starters had moments. You know, Selton Miguel hit some big threes. Rodney Rice, when they were down 24-12, had some big-time shots. Rodney Rice is a pro. Maryland's got two NBA players on their team, Derek Queen, obviously. And I think Rodney Rice this time next year, people will be talking about as a potential day one pick or night one pick. He had a great season, and he hit some big shots, and he did not have it going early. It's never stopped him. This dude's fearless. There's no way three or four misses, even some bad misses, are going to stop him from firing. Three for seven from behind the arc for Rice. 3 for 5 from behind the arc for Miguel. So they were 6 for 12 combined. Once again, you know, by the way, I'm not like this massive fan of the Crab Five. It's cute. It's fine. I'll go with it. It's just getting a little bit old for me. Whatever. They have had all season long the most productive starting five in the country, and all five last night ended up in double figures. It has happened many times this year where all five starters have ended up in double figures. So number one on the list of things that I liked, just the Queen shot, the play, the ability, by the way, in the moment after the dagger three to not use the timeout but to get the ball into the front court and call the timeout. Julian Reese, Juju, was phenomenal, just considering where he came from last year and the year before. And then all five starters certainly had their moments. Also on the list that of things that I liked, I thought there was a real key sequence in the game in the second half. You know, this game went back and forth. You know, it started with Colorado State having a big lead. Maryland came back. Then Colorado State built that lead to 9 in the second half, early in the second half. And then you just had runs back and forth. Maryland took the lead. They came back. Colorado State took the lead. Maryland took the lead. But Maryland was down 64-59 with about 4 minutes to go. And Rodney Rice had missed a three to get it to 2. And it felt like the game was turning. Clifford was becoming almost unstoppable as a passer, playmaker, and scorer. And Maryland, that was the moment where I was starting to feel like this team really hasn't... They've dealt with pressure, even though they've lost 4 buzzer beaters, understood. But they've never had the feel in watching them at any point this year that they would feel what maybe fans would feel in the moment, which is, uh-oh. But when Rice missed that three and they had a possession to go up 7 or 8 with about 4 minutes to go, 4.5 minutes to go, I thought there was a crucial sequence. Clifford drove and Gillespie got his hands in and stole the basketball. And it got, you know, it got knocked off Clifford. It was a big defensive play by Gillespie. And then on the other end, he made a huge three. So it went from potentially being down 7 or 8 to a 2-point game, 64-62. I thought that was a massive sequence in the game. I also thought that Maryland, when they went up 4 and it looked like they were on the verge of taking control, you know, they went on that 9-0 run from 64-59 down to up 68-64, and they had multiple possessions up 68-64. They ran a play for Rice as the ball handler. He got to his spot and just missed a shot that hung on the rim and fell off. And then they got Gillespie going downhill into the lane, and he short-armed one in the lane when they were up 2. They had multiple chances there, and I thought they ran some good stuff to get, you know, big buckets with guys that, you know, have hit big shots for them all year long. The possession that you hated was, when it was 68-68 and they got a little bit discombobulated and Selton Miguel had to throw up a three with the shot clock winding down. But Reese was there to save him with the offensive rebound. All right. What I didn't like from the game, and your calls, and I see you there. Stay there. We'll get to all of that next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
There was a timeout. You said, I'm not going to say the full thing, but you said, get me the ball when you came out of the timeout. Where does that confidence come from?
I mean, so I think I'm from Baltimore, that's why. And then I kind of had it going all game. Me and my teammates had it going, and like I said, like they trusted me to take that last shot.
Derrick Queen, Baltimore, through and through. Julian Reese, Baltimore, through and through. Just keep Baltimore coming to College Park. We'll take a bunch of those WCAC players, too. Although, truth of the matter is, recruiting freshmen, just it doesn't matter anymore. Recruiting the portal is what matters. Unless there's a Derek Queen out there, and then it matters. Taking your calls here in a few minutes, 301-230-0980. I'm doing a football season game take here on Maryland's 72-71 win over Colorado State. An incredible moment, an incredible shot by the freshman, Derek Queen. Have just finished sort of the short list of the things that I liked. The shot itself, the ability to get the ball into the front court to call that last time out rather than calling it after the three. I loved Reese. He came up so clutch, scoring six of their final eight. This would have been considered miraculous a year ago if you watched him shoot free throws or mid-range jump shots. What a job he did in working to develop into a much better player. All five of the starters had moments for sure. And I thought there was a key stretch, and I thought it was Gillespie's steal where he knocked the ball out of bounds off Clifford when they had the ball with a chance to go up seven or eight with about four and a half to go, and then Gillespie hit a massive three on the other end. That was a big exchange there, because if you're going to that under four timeout down seven or eight, it's a problem. All right, what I didn't like. Number one on the list is this. They have really had an issue in recent games rebounding. I thought going into the game against a team that isn't big but is active, and by the way, well-coached, Nico Medved had that team. I watched him on Friday. Had not watched him at any point this year. I'm not making that up. I never watched a Colorado State game once. But you could see their spacing, their movement, their activity on shots offensively. Yes, some of those rebounds were long rebounds off of threes. Sometimes you can't do anything about those. But Maryland got out-rebounded by Colorado State 39-29. And it wasn't because like there was a massive turnover differential or massive shot difference differential. No, they just got beat up on the glass. They gave up 13 offensive rebounds. They gave up 13 offensive rebounds to Grand Canyon. And then last week they gave up 19 to Michigan in the semifinal loss. Florida's big. They're physical. They've got to be better start to finish on the glass. Everybody's got a rebound. You know, Maryland's got players. You know, Rice and Miguel can be rebounders. They've got a rebound, too. It can't be just Reese and Queen, especially if you're going to switch a lot of screens. Because when you're switching five, you know, one through five, which Maryland will do on occasion, they ended up going to zone yesterday because they were having so much of an issue keeping the ball in front of them. I'll get to that next. But, you know, you've got to you got to rebound. They survived yesterday against a smaller team, one of the worst offensive rebounding teams statistically in the country, had 13. Number two on the list of things that I didn't like. Look, he's a good player. Clifford's a really good player. And the kid that came in, Bourne, number 13, the short white kid, my God, he was a problem for them. But they could not keep the ball in front of them, which is why Kevin went to some zone. You know, part of it was his 2-3 where he turns it into a man-to-man, you know, halfway through the shot clock. He's played a lot of that. They played matchup, but you'll see, and this has become a trend, and I don't know if Kevin started it, maybe he did, but they'll start and they'll show zone, and then shot clock gets to like 12, and they'll pick up who's ever in their zone and play man for the rest of the possession. But they also, in their man, switch 1 through 5 a lot. They couldn't keep the ball in front of them in that game. I mean, I that was frustrating. Got to be better defensively. Maryland's been a good defensive team for much of the season. They finished top 10 in KenPom defensive efficiency. Got to be better defensively than they were yesterday. Number three on the list of things that I didn't like. I just didn't like the way the end of the first half or the defensive possession on the made three, go-ahead three for Colorado State was handled. Now, Gillespie admitted that Kevin Willard gave him direction at the end of the game to foul, but let me go back to the first half. They had two team fouls. They had four to give. They had just hit a shot. I think Gillespie hit a shot to make it 35-30. There was something that happened with the clock there that I'll talk about here in a moment. But you got four fouls to give. You gotta use one or two. You can't give up a layup at the buzzer, which is what they did to Neat Clifford, and they're down seven. So I didn't like the way the end of the first half was handled. And look, that last possession, up two, you cannot give up a three, and you certainly can't give up a three to their best three-point shooter, the dude that's already knocked down a couple of them already. And the stroke on the ones that he missed on, they were like halfway down and out. Jaylen Lake was wide open. Queen tried to close out, but they lost him. Lost him on the biggest defensive possession of the game. How do you do that? Clifford, they set it up, and Clifford is a good playmaker too, man. He really has excellent vision, is a good passer. You had a foul to give with five. Now, again, Willard instructed them to use the foul, you know, and they didn't have a chance to foul. They could have fouled Clifford on the block, you know, and then forced Colorado State with, what would that have been, maybe 9-8 seconds to inbound the ball and go again. But they left a three-point shooter wide the blank open when you can't give up a three. You can't give up a three in that spot, and let alone to a guy that's already knocked down two or three of them before that. So wasn't thrilled about the end of the first half when they had fouls to give and they gave up a layup, and certainly giving up that three could have been, you know, if Queen doesn't hit that shot, it's a completely different story this morning. Also on the list of things that I didn't like, the officiating. So we'll get to that. So, look, Neat Clifford is a very good player. He threw an intentional elbow that really could have hurt Jordan Geronimo. That's about as flagrant as you get. We have watched how many games during the course of the year, but during the course of the tournament for a lot of you for the first time this year, where we're just delayed one possession after another with referees over at the monitors. As Gene Steratore put it, the alternate referee in the game, the guy that's at the desk, has a responsibility to call the officiating crew over to look at a play like that one. That is, at minimum, I think we can all agree, at minimum, that's a flagrant one. It's a big spot in the game because Maryland was down five. They'll go to the free throw line, get two, and get the ball. I'm not advocating that he got that they should have thrown him out with a flagrant two. I would argue that it was worthy of a flagrant two. I would err on the side in a tournament game of giving him a flagrant one and not taking the best player off the floor for Colorado State. But you could have certainly argued that it was flagrant two. Now, why didn't Maryland do more about this? Well, Jordan Geronimo, tough kid, didn't complain that much. He didn't get up and say the dude just threw an elbow flagrantly. Tried to cold cock me right in the middle of the floor. Did anybody see it? He didn't do that. It didn't appear. And it didn't appear as if Maryland's bench knew or saw it. We have the benefit of seeing it on replay over and over again. It's the alternate referee's job to call the officiating crew over to the desk to look at that. That was a huge swing and a massive miss. I thought the whole game was officiated in a way in which, first of all, they let everything go. They didn't call fouls in the first half. You know, anybody that wants to say that Maryland was screwed by the referees, I'm not part of that. I think it's a trait that a lot of Maryland fans have had over the years. I've probably fallen into it. Maryland, Colorado State had twice the number of fouls called on them than Maryland did. They never got to the 1-1 in either half. So how can you say that Colorado State got the benefit of like a totally favorable whistle when they had seven more fouls called on them than Maryland did in the game? Colorado State never in either half got to the 1-1. However, the Neat Clifford play, that's a big, big miss. They had a play in which they scored in the second half where their two bigs were in the paint for 6.5 seconds. I went back and timed it. They had a hook and hold on an offensive play by Clifford on a bucket that he scored on that was an egregious miss. Egregious miss. You can't miss some of those big ones. You know, Gillespie, he got away with a travel on that breakaway and that pass to Rice in the lane. So there's one that Colorado State could bitch about. But you cannot miss a guy throwing a – he apologized to Andy Katz going into the halftime locker room. He said, I lost my cool, shouldn't have done it. I apologized to Jordan Geronimo. Well, great. Can afford to apologize because you're still in the game. I would not have thrown him out. I think during the regular season he probably gets tossed from a game. I would not have thrown him out of that game, but that's obviously a flagrant one. Also on the list of things with the officiating, at the end of the first half, Maryland scored to make it 35-30 with 39.5 seconds to go, and Colorado State didn't inbound the ball until there were 30 seconds on the clock. It's smart. It's what you should do. You should wait, but you only get 5 seconds to inbound the ball. And what happened was is they didn't touch the ball. They didn't pick up the ball to start the process. It's the referee's job then, and he's required to stop the clock. If it's a clear attempt to delay by the other team, Maryland had a 2-for-1 opportunity, and Colorado State and the referee let 9 seconds go off the clock so that they got the last shot. And Maryland didn't have a chance to get the ball back at the end of the first half. Now, Maryland should have used their fouls at the end of the first half. I don't know what the instruction was there. The instruction at the end of the game was to use the foul, and they didn't do it. But when you got 4 fouls to give and you've only got 2 team fouls, you can't give up a layup at the end of the first half. You got to go into that halftime break down 5, not down 7. All right. Your phone calls, 301-230-0980, I promise. It's all you next. Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. How far can Maryland go in anything on yesterday's last night's thrilling 72-71 Derrick Queen bank shot game winner over Colorado State to get to the Sweet 16? All you next, 301-230-0980.